This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey guys, how are we all doing? Welcome to the after show. Yeah, I figured, you know what, it's been a while since I've managed to just sit down and just talk to the guys, you know, just talk to you lot without any pre-planned agenda or anything, you know, no show planned out necessarily. I just fancy having a chat with you guys, see what you guys have been thinking about lately, see how you're all feeling. Maybe I can kill an hour or so maximum, something like that, and then I'm going to have to call it a night, as I've got more shows coming up on the weekend as well. But how are we all doing, guys? What's on your mind lately? What's the hot topics that everybody's been looking into? And let's have a bit of a back and forth, shall we? So I'll just... There you go, switch back to my webcam. Excuse the mess in the background. What's that? Huh. I think these are my son's dirty clothes that need to go in the washing. So I'll switch the camera around. But yeah, how are we all doing, guys? Let me know what's on your mind recently. Did you enjoy that show? I thought it was quite good. Yeah, he reached out to me about a week or two ago. And I think he said in his email, my work has made him open his Bible for the first time in a very long time. So he's thankful for that. And I thought, fair enough, that's good. That's a good sign. It's a good sign what I'm doing is working, at least. But yeah, I think he really responded to that, to be honest. So I'm quite happy with that. Sorry, let me just pour myself a cup of tea while it's still hot. I'm right next to a window here, and the seal on the window is terrible. So any hot drink I put here next to me on the windowsill, it goes cold very quickly. So I'm going to drink it while it's still good to go, but there we go. Yes, yeah, so how's it going, guys? Any questions in the chat, just let me know. I'll see what's going on here. Good show, says Azori. Excellent. I'm glad you enjoyed that one. Paul, do you know Kenneth Copeland? He has a real demon face. I've heard the name before. But I'm actually going to be honest, I don't know him. Is he... I recognise him. Yeah, I recognise him now I'm looking. You're right. He does look... It looks like he's had a lot of plastic surgery. Just at a glance there. But I do recognise him now you've said it. He's like an American TV evangelist, is he? Televangelist, as they say. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's just not something I'm going to... recognize from the name alone in Britain here, but I've seen him in through my years pop up every now and then. I'm guessing he's like a billionaire. He's up there. Is it Joel Osteen and people like that? Is it? Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, he does have an odd look to him, doesn't he? I don't know if some people say my eyes are too close together, you know. So, who am I to judge other people? People say, is he demonic? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know enough about the guy to say anything about him personally. Like, but just at a glance, he does look a bit odd. He does look a little bit odd, that's for sure. What else is going on there, guys? Let's shut the chat. 3 days of darkness. Have we had 3 days of darkness? Is that coming? How's everyone feeling about this eclipse that's just passed? Because I made my little video talking about it, didn't I? Where I was just kind of spitballing about how we need to kind of stop falling for the hype with these events so often. It just seems to give us a bad look, basically. And I got some interesting comments back from that, where people were basically saying stuff like, well, you know, something could still happen yet. It's usually a sign of things to come, you know, so there's always that. So who knows? Make sure to apologize for our son's teddy bear too, yeah. Yeah, this was my mother-in-law bought this for my son when he was 1 year old, I believe, or something like that. And he has always just stayed here in the corner of our living room. Why not? He's also there because there's an enormous gap next to my sofa there, which I don't want my son falling down. And he just kind of plugs that up a little bit too. And that's why he's here. And he's kind of become a bit of a mascot over the years. The year I've been doing these shows and become a bit of a main staple. So he's here to stay. And that explains the bear, if anyone was wondering. Would be cool to see you back on San Tripoli's pod again. But explain to him the millennial rain theory this time. Maybe. I don't know. Although I enjoy speculating about the millennial rain theory, you know, and come up with my ideas and just speculations on the evidences presented and things like that. And I enjoy it. I don't know if I'm the guy who should be going out there on these big platforms. I don't feel like I could personally do it as much justice as perhaps some other people out there might be able to. I'm a rambler, you know. I'm an all over the place type presenter, and I feel like I just miss something, you know. And I've tried on certain podcasts my best to explain the theory as clearly as I can understand it to others, so they could understand. I've tried my best on other shows, you know, and I do what I can. But am I the guy to do that to millions? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't consider myself as much of a as a learned theologian as I know many other people talking about this topic are compared to me. So I don't mean, if I got invited on to talk about the clowns again with Sam Tripoli, I'd definitely do that. That's my expertise. That's my thing, you know. So I guess I would do that. What else have we got? Great show. Came to the channel through Millennial Rain. Tonight had my, oh wow, that's the Nephilim R moment. Yeah. I'm glad, LMK, you got something from that presentation. That's like my 50th time presenting all this information on many podcasts. And, you know, I do repeat myself quite a lot. So once you've seen one, you've kind of seen them all. It's one of those situations. But each time I do one of those podcasts, I'm reaching new people who have never heard of it before. So that's why I have to keep doing this. New audiences, different audiences, but from different perspectives. I was just on a podcast recently, actually, for a channel called We the Aether, or We the Ether. So I'll get up here. We the Aether. Instagram? Yeah, it's Instagram. Here, I'll just share the screen with you guys. So this is the Instagram page. As you can see, 1.4 million followers on this guy. And he was really cool. He was a really nice guy. He's quite clearly more of a new age audience, as you can see. The type of people who, you know, comment and like on these things are of more of a new age mindset. And those were my people before I came to Christ, you know. And these are the people I'm trying to reach really with my work. And I do believe the clown is a great way to bridge that gap for people, give them a way to get over to this side, and to see it from the biblical perspective. So I did a show with the guy, and he was so nice, so receptive. We had a great back and forth. We talked about so much great stuff. You can actually go on to onto Patreon, and notifications. Yeah, and how do I get on to the actual video? It's not taking me to the video. Go to post. There we go. So this is the post. You can go watch the full thing
I want you to get together.
on Patreon right now, but I'm waiting till he releases it on his platform before I release it on mine. So this is sitting here right now to go listen to. It was only an hour's talk, so I had to cram a lot in. But I've really took my time in this. I've edited the audio so it's normalized, so it sounds really good.
Max, and this is where my faith began to come into this, and this is where it led me my research to where it was, and my research is very much grounded in biblical research and the Christian theology and the Christian history. That's how I got to the conclusion of the Nephilim, first of all, even being a thing and how they look like clowns. But I had a vision not long after sobering up where I was back in the DMT realm, and I knew where I was instantly because I'd been there before. But
okay, so there you go. So there's me, like, you know, I'm relating to the guy. And then this is full of images. I really went out with this one, just chalking it full of visuals to make it very clear about what I'm talking about.
They're in line with a good point there. So,
and like I said, this video is going to be like a really professional one. It's probably one of the more professional examples of my work I've put together. And I'm hoping when this one's released, it'll reach a lot of people. And I'm looking forward to see how he does it too, what he does with the images and how he puts it together. But I had a great talk with him, and he was really receptive, and I'm hoping we could reach a lot of people with this one. But also, I did do like a quick 10-minute after talk with him as well, which I'll update and upload onto Patreon soon as well. But I still need to edit that one and get it cropped and ready to go. So yeah, that's something to look forward to. That'll be coming out soon. But I do feel like this hour-long presentation I gave here was really a much more relatable one, and getting into the psychedelic aspects, which he obviously comes from and he can relate to more. And obviously trying to bridge that gap back to the Christian perspective for the guy as well. So that was fun. That's to look forward to, guys. Go check that out on, if you're a member of Patreon, you can go and check that out as well. If you're not a member of Patreon, it's only $5 and that'll get you access to it as well. And speaking of which, it's like someone else just gave a free member. I have a lot of free members on Patreon. I have like 150 free members, which is quite a lot, isn't it? Hopefully I can get you all to becoming paid members if you think what I offer is valuable enough. Great. But in the meantime, guys, that's what's currently on there. So go check that out if you are a member. That's something fun. I'll just quickly switch this back to the webcam. There we go. Ivan Torres, hey Paul, I asked a question on the video, so I apologize to throw you the topic off, but I'm super into your little logo and arrangement of shapes for your logo. Does it mean anything? Well, when I made that in like 2013, maybe just before I finished my university degree, and the channel was created as a university project originally. And I wanted to present conspiracy theories in a way that people could understand and engage their reactions and things like that. And I was quite coming, I said, as I explained that, I came at it from the New Age angle originally, kind of. I was never like a hippie type, but I was into the sacred geometry stuff. So a lot of my, when I came to understanding the conspiracy, I realized this is a huge part of it. And the controllers do kind of have like an understanding of this type of stuff too.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
And I kind of made the symbol because I understood, like, this symbol represents the conspiracy. You know, there's a lot to it that kind of summarizes the whole thing, what the conspiracy is that we're trying to understand. So you'll notice for most of my openings, for example, you'll see all the shapes broken down one after the other here. And that was the point. It's kind of, we're going to understand this conspiracy by breaking down the whole image, analyzing each part of it individually and what it means symbolically, so we can understand the conspiracy as a holistic image after putting it back together. And that's quite literally all I thought about it. And I was going through a time where I was pretty obsessed with sacred geometry, and as an artist, you know, drawing the platonic solids in these forms was just something I was really into doing at the time. And so this came out about it. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't know heavily that people would get upset about it that much when I made it. Because I was a young, naive Christian, not a Christian, fully yet type conspiracy theorist by this point, you know. And I didn't realize people would think that means I'm supporting the star of Remfam, which I've heard thousands of times. It's kind of like, that was not my thought process at all. Like, and if I go to, I actually did release a video trying to explain this years ago. If you ever can find it here, it's one of my earliest videos, to be honest. So let me just, I'm going to have to go way back here, like way back. Let me just keep going. Oh, keep going. And it was called Understanding My Logo. I think I can finally do it now. Yeah, here it is. And this was my original concept. I wasn't...
First of all, we have a yellow...
So I wasn't a very good artist. And this is what I came up with. And luckily my roommate at the time was a graphic designer. And he turned it into this, and I was like, that's way better than what I came up with. Fair enough. Like, I'm a drawer with pencils and paints. I don't do computers well. I'm better now than I was like 12 years ago, don't get me wrong. But and at the time I just watched the Thunderbolts Project's Symbols of an Alien Sky, where he's talking about how Saturn used to dominate the sky back in the day. And all these rock art symbols we see are just representations of specific ways the alignments of the planets used to look in our atmosphere from the Earth's perspective. So that's Saturn, Venus and Mars all aligned together there. And that's what it would have looked like to us as the electromagnetic sparks flew off from one another. And people would have basically made rock art depictions of what they were looking at. And now I actually don't subscribe to this theory anymore, but then I was blown away by it. And so I modeled it basically after that. Like, in a way, you see the inspiration. And to this day, I still get people recommending this series to me, saying, you want to understand all these things? You just need to look at rock art. You just need to look at the Thunderbolts Project. You're an idiot for thinking the Nephilim were real. They're just representations of these things people saw. And I'm like, what? No, I think this guy was way off. Although it's interesting, I can see how he's made the inflections. These Gorgons are not representations of electrical phenomena, as, you know, they try to say in this, basically. You know, the terrible goddess, like, they're just representations of these planet alignments and stuff like that. They weren't real. So, you know, these are the type of things I was watching at the time, and that's why my logo ended up being what it was. You know, as a Christian now, I make it clear at the end of this video, like, don't come to me expecting to get some kind of new age hippy dippy spiel where I'm talking about consciousness expansion and stuff, because that's not what I am. I'm explaining I am a Christian, you know, and you're going to get the Christian perspective from me. And in a way, the logo does attract that Gnostic type, because they think I'm going to be on their side just by judging the logo alone. But I'm really not that, you know, I'm a Christian through and through. And it's kind of too late to change it all now. I'm not gonna be able to change anything now, you know. This is pretty much my brand. It's established. And, you know, I think it works. I think if you want to understand the conspiracy, then yeah, take some time to understand these symbols. And it'll definitely help you get a grip on the type of stuff the controllers think about and do, you know. But Symbols of an Alien Sky was a huge influence. It was a huge influence. But again, I openly saying now, I do not believe that planets came close to the Earth, created electromagnetic phenomena, and therefore all the rock art we have is just depictions of what people saw in the sky. I don't believe that anymore, you know, and I think this explains away something else, which the truth of what happened, you know, and they use this as justifications for great cataclysms nowadays. Obviously, you know, I'm thinking more about the millennial reign and tribulation was perhaps the real cause of most of these things, you know. But who knows, you know, who knows on that. That's all, again, we're just theorizing and all this stuff. But there you go. If you wanted to understand my logo, that's pretty much the best way I can describe it now. I'm sure there are still going to be people out there who do not believe me and just think I'm just some kind of evil shill or something, regardless of any explanation I give will not be good enough for many people. But that's the truth. That's the honest truth of the process. It was made before I was even a Christian, you know, and I never imagined in the future people would consider it a problem then. But it is what it is. And my intentions were never to represent anything particularly evil. It's just, you want to know the conspiracy? Get to know these symbols. And that was kind of my basic thought process of the time. It didn't really go much from that. But there we go. Anyway, let's get the webcam back on. My throat's a bit dry. Paul, here's my question. What are your thoughts on the classes of a Nephilim? And any guesses on which fallen angel could produce a clownish Nephilim? I mean, in terms of classes of Nephilim, I mean, I do think the seraphim angels, which are the dragon, the fiery flying serpents, who mixed with the daughters of Cain, are likely the ones that created the most clownish looks. I do think it's serpent-human hybrid, which is what clown is trying to mimic. Okay. And the mark of Cain being leprous white skin is where the white skin motif predominantly came from. But that is to say that there are many angels out there who probably aren't serpentine in nature, perhaps maybe have more animalistic features, mammalian features, amphibious features, insectoid features. I think a lot of angels out there likely do have features which are reminiscent of earthly type design, you know? I think that's how it works. But the seraphim were a particular class of angel. And it's likely, you know, during the first incursion, there may have been certain angels who were more fish-orientated, who mated with human women, created more fish-like Nephilim, maybe, you know, more insectoid-like Nephilim, which also would have been extremely colourful and weird and psychedelic to look at once mixed with the human. But I don't know about that. What I do know for certain is that it does say that they had children, which were the Nephil and the Eliud and the Eliot. And that was descendants going down as each one watered themselves down with humans with each generation. So there would have been those different types as well. And I think they probably would have got less clownish with each iteration. And I've theorized that maybe Bigfoot or the Wildman iteration is like a descendant, like an Elio, an Eliud, rather than an original Nephilim, you know. They are more like the more hairier, humanized giants, offspring of the offspring of the offspring, and they made it through to the other side of the flood somehow, maybe. So I can only speculate on these things. I don't have definitive answers, unfortunately, but it's interesting to think about. Genuine question: how come none of the conspiracy channels or podcasts name the JOO? It's because you will get instantly banned and lose everything you've ever built. It's like bait. It's like when people leave comments like that, Adam, it's like you're trying to get my channel removed. It's like you want me to say something to give them an excuse to just ruin and destroy everything. Okay, there are plenty of places where that is being exposed already. Why would we do it on a platform where we know we will be instantly banned if we do mention it? That's stupid, right? That's not a long-term solution, right, to talk about stuff. So that's why no one talks about that kind of thing on YouTube, you know. But there are plenty of channels and other platforms that do get into that kind of stuff. That's just not where my work takes me necessarily, because I'm quite niched into certain topics, you know. But I mean, you've got a phone, haven't you? You go on social media and see things. You must know that, like, there are thousands of places out there quite clearly talking about that all the time. So why do you demand that certain channels must talk about what you want them to talk about? I mean, why? But that's why no one does it. I'm explaining now why nobody talks about it, because there are things you just cannot talk about on YouTube. There are just clear defining lines where if you cross that boundary, you lose everything. Like that. Like, who's going to risk that? Who's going to do that on a platform where it's obviously not going to be allowed? Like, why are they going to do that? Like, people have brains, you know, we're not stupid. There's a game you've got to play here at the end of the day. That's all I can really say about it. Like, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. Like, There's a time and place to say certain things. And YouTube is certainly not a place to say a lot of things. It's just not. Go to Rumble for that kind of stuff, or BitChute or Odyssey or anywhere else, you know. Twitter is full of it. It's not even hidden on there, you know. Me personally, my work just doesn't take me there.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Like, I'm talking about the Nephilim and spiritual warfare stuff predominantly, and that's what I like to talk about. But that isn't to say I'm not aware of all that stuff. Of course I am. Like, I'm not stupid. I'm not ignorant. Like, it's just, come on, you've got to be clever. Use your brain. That's all I can think to say on that topic, really. The bear is a staple now, says Wendy. It sure is, yeah. No notification. YouTube is rude. Yeah, I get a lot of that lately. You know what I saw yesterday? I had a video up where I talked with Heidi Love on her podcast, and that's on my live thing there, Unfiltered Rise. And I was watching it, and I saw it said, oh, it says I've got 5.8 thousand views on there, cool. And I refreshed the page, and that dropped to 5,000. 800 views just vanished like that. And then I went into the thing to double check if it was actually happening on the inside the analytics. And again, I did the same thing again. I refreshed it and I watched the number drop. They just removed 800 views from a video. They just straight up took 800 views out of a video randomly. And it's kind of like, what are you doing? I've never seen that happen in real time myself before. But then I think that's what they call being shadow banned, isn't it? They do little things like this every now and then just to keep you down a little bit. So maybe that is happening. I don't know. Maybe that's just my conspiratorial side coming out. Maybe those views were taken off simply because they don't count as real views because people just clicked on and off or something and they don't want to count it for ad revenue purposes when trying to generate the sums. Maybe it's all just basic stuff like that. Or maybe they're purposely removing views. Who knows? Who knows? You know, I'm not just speculating here. We're talking about 13 months calendars. I wonder if the Earth can produce its own clouds anymore. We're always stuck with chemtrail clouds, says Guacamole Kid. That's an interesting thought. I think the Earth is way bigger than what they can do with their chemtrails. And I think as long as water is being evaporated, clouds will be naturally formed. I think that will always be the case. These guys like to play God, but they're not God at the end of the day, and the capacity is a lot more limited as well than I think they led on. Chat, is Paul showing something or nah? What do you mean? What does that mean, Chris? I don't know what that means. You need to explain that to me. I believe interdimensional entities or whatever they are look cartoonish too. Not how most would imagine. Yes, they look like jesters. So far, seems to be the case, is the most prominent look. I'd love to talk to you. I've seen some crazy things. I feel you're onto something. Sure, Abby. One day maybe you can call in on a live Q&A call in session. Maybe we can get a conversation going on that. But surely having 30 makes the most sense. We're talking about the days of the month. Um, Paul, did you hear about that? To get left behind was a good thing. I don't know what that means. Rotem, could you expand on that? To my point, though, it's just demonization of things like the number 13. Like maybe it's being done purposely to thwart its significance in history. The funny thing is about the number 13. Just a little. I got a little anecdote here, which from my own life, which I did not know was a thing until it shafted us royally. I know my wife can appreciate me talking about this too. But we're moving house soon, okay? And the it's a new build development, and they we didn't know this. But we'd already counted the houses. And we'd figured out which house we're getting because we're getting it through the council. And we got very lucky with this, okay? But we looked at the map of the development and we counted the houses, and the number they gave us, we're like, we're getting this one, which is great. It's great positioned. It's the one we wanted, you know, out of this, because there was three up for it and you get one allocated at random. And when we got the house number through and we counted all the houses, we're like, there we go, we're going to end up in this one based on where it should be, how the patterns of British houses works with all the odd numbers on one side, you know. But when we went to go look at the estate, the house numbers were wrong. And we were like, if that's the house numbers here, then as we continue round, because they've only just put it on a few houses, because a lot of them aren't built yet, so only some houses had numbers where people have already moved in, you know. And it says, if that's the case, then that means we're in this one, which is the one we do not want. It's the worst one. It has the less land involved with it, and the position of it just makes it so awkward, you know. And it turns out, yeah, we're getting the worst one, because when we counted, we included the number 13. It turns out new build properties do not use the number 13 on a house anymore, because it takes £20,000 off the property value. Because people are so superstitious, they don't buy them. So new build properties have decided, and have been doing this for a while, just to skip the number 13, just not include it on the lot at all, and just skip straight to 15, just 11, 15. You know, they just do not do number 13, and that has royally shafted us. And we were quite upset about that for a while. We've come to terms with it now, and we realize it's still better than what we're in now, and we should just be grateful for what we've got, sort of thing. And we're making it work, and we realize there are certain benefits to where we've got in obscure ways, but I won't bore the details. But the number 13, people really do not like that number enough that it's made housing properties remove it, because it stops the sale of the property. Who knew, eh? Who knew? That's just the kind of thing you learn by existing and having to go through stuff. Yeah, my wife was born on the 13th. Yeah, she was. X is inundated with the J talk. Yeah. Steve Mahew says, I'm looking for an email for the author. We have common ground and would like to bounce a few ideas off you, possibly, and add content regarding the millennial reign and aliens, etymology of English. You can send me anything you want to understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. The link to that is in the description of this video. On any video, you can find my email address. Just email me whatever information you want to email me, and that's fine. I'll give it a look over. I can't always guarantee I'll respond because I'm busy and I get a lot of emails, okay? And when I'm not doing this at night, my days are packed with raising a child and doing errands and being all over the place. I don't really have a chance to respond to emails that often, okay? And I do a lot of evening work on shows as well and editing videos. But I will always read the emails. I just won't always respond. And it's nothing per. Please don't take it personally. I get thousands a month, okay? So it's hard to just respond to everybody. I don't have that time, unfortunately. I have to be very selective. And it's usually when people need something from me or something to do with the book that I often respond straight away. Or on the very rare occasions someone happens to email me at the exact specific time, I just happen to have 5 minutes spare where I don't have to do anything, and I just happen to have already been in writing mode on my phone or something like this. It's very rare. So please don't take it personally, but you can send me some emails. We're in Buddha's little season. I don't know what that means. It's like Wendy just gifted some memberships to people. Oh, thanks, Wendy. I appreciate that. Yeah, guys, memberships are available on my YouTube if you're interested. I haven't worked out anything for it yet. What you pay in terms of memberships isn't enough to gain access to any extra content, which my patrons pay for, because they pay $5 and they get access to everything. And I get the $5 they pay because I'm on a founder's plan on Patreon. But if you donated the same amount on YouTube, I would only get about $2, because they take a third, and then there's a conversion thing going on as well from dollars to pounds. So it still wouldn't reach the threshold to get any free stuff, which means I would have to like charge £8 for YouTube memberships. Sorry, $8 for a YouTube membership to come to me as the equivalent of a $5 patron. Do you get what I mean? So I don't think it's fair to the patrons to give free stuff away on memberships when they're paying more to get it. Do you get what I mean? So if you do want access to all the extra content, all the extra videos and early access stuff, please go to Patreon and sign up for $5. That's all it is. And you gain access to everything from that threshold alone. But if you do just want to kick a couple of dollars my way and you don't care about getting anything extra, maybe memberships is the best way to go. It's the lowest threshold one. It's like $2 or $4 or something like that. But thanks, Wendy. I appreciate you doing that. I really do. I can't get rid of it, though. There it is. Good is evil. Evil is good. Are the historical people you suspect have been given this treatment, Paul? You suspected the Borgias were given this one. I didn't. That was my guest, my call-in guest, who talked about the Borgias, and explained how, you know, even though they were demonized, could they have actually been the descendants of perhaps the saints or even Jesus himself? You know, who knows? But no, that was my guest. That was Louis who said that. And I think he's done more research I have on that specific topic. So I would.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheReRealReal.com.
I don't want to expound anymore right now, but I'm sure there are plenty of figures in history who have probably been demonized or were perhaps not what they were said. I mean, history is written by the winners, they say. You know, that means they can easily deface or defame their enemies as they document their victories and put them in a negative light. So of course that happens, but right now I don't think I'm in a place where I can give any particular examples of that, unfortunately. Drunk Wedding Photographer, thanks for being here. And thank you for sending me those amazing images as well. You said you were going to send me something to print, and they were fantastic. Me and my wife have already picked our favorite, which we're going to put up in our new house when we're there. So thank you. I really appreciate that. My wife's just been made a member. Thanks, Wendy. It's a documentation of all the hybrids out there, often in the wild. It doesn't have to be anything about semiotics or vibration, just interbreeding, says Elmk. I think I've missed something there, Elmk. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Does anybody think the talk show host is an alien? What, me? Am I the talk show host who's an alien? Is that what you're talking about there, Samuel? I have no idea. Shadow banning is legit. You were too on the nose. Oops. Okay. Do you believe the Eastern Orthodox Church was the Church of the Millennial Reign? Says Slow Mo. That's a good question. I think it could be the case that a lot of these modern Orthodox churches and Catholic churches today are not an exact continuation of the Millennial Kingdom's churches. I think they were co-opted and taken over by people who maybe tried their best to continue it, in the best way they could. But these churches are not talking about how Christ reigned for 1,000 years, and they're just the continuations of them. They don't talk about it like that, do they? So they can't be the true continuations of the millennial reign, because they don't mention the millennial reign is happening. So they can't be. So the people running them and disseminating their particular doctrines have got to be imposters, right? Who are just squatting in the remains of the saints' churches and Jesus Christ's established church while he was reigning. But the rulers are certainly not the original members or a true continuation, shall we say, an apostolic succession, as they would say. So who knows, who knows on that? But a lot of these churches are beautiful. And I really love the onion dome effect of Eastern Orthodox churches. And I remember having a dream years ago. This is before any of this information was privy to me about the Millennial Kingdom stuff. This is way before any of that. This is like 2015, 16 period or something. Maybe even less. Might have been like 2014. I don't know. But I remember having a dream where I was in a open topped limo in a hot tub, right? I get this. With university flatmates and friends, having basically just talking and eating and drinking while, but we were driving on a cliff edge road, like a around the edge, like the side of a cliff, on like a flat section that was clearly made as a road that winded around the edge of the cliff. And I remember looking down into the dark chasm below the edge of the cliff, and I remember the sky being like black and brown. It was odd, like black sky with brown clouds. It was really weird, and this side of this dark brown mountain side, and we kind of came to a plateau and stopped. And I remember like getting out of this limo thing and looking over the edge of this chasm, and in the darkness below of this giant hole in the ground of darkness, like in the bottomless pit, you could say, was just rising up these onion domes, which were enormous, glistening with pearlescent jewels and golds and greens and purples and reds. And it was just perfectly sculpted, designed architectural onion dome spires, just all mashed together with their own castle-like appendages that they were the tops of, and this beautiful looking cathedral with onion top domes, which was just huge. Like, I could not. It's like Grand Canyon sized, filling huge, just coming out of this darkness and rising in front of me. And I remember being seared into my brain seeing this thing. And it was so awe-inspiring that from that day, I was just looking into Orthodox churches and onion dome architecture and getting to grips with what I was looking at, and I had to search, like, try and figure out what this shape of this type of architecture was called after that dream, because I didn't know. I actually didn't know what it was called, the dream led me to research those things, and it was only years later that I consider everything about the Millennial Kingdom stuff. Yeah, I'm talking like maybe 6 years later, where I even thought about it. So it was completely unrelated, but it always stuck with me. And I've always had an affinity for that onion domes type architecture. I've always wondered what that dream was, and I just put it up to that. I always have weird dreams, always have. I think I always will, you know. My wife will tell you, I'm always telling her about my dreams, and she's like, what on earth goes on? And how do you come up with this stuff? And I think I don't feel like I come up with this stuff. I feel like I'm going to places I recognize or I've been before. That's what it feels like. Because in the dreams, you know, you have that feeling like this is perfectly normal. And of course I know where I am. And of course I know who I am within this place. And of course this all makes perfect sense. It's only afterwards when you look back and you're like, what on earth was that place like? But I'm often exploring huge cities. Like in my dreams, and I'm going from room to room, building to building, across cobbled streets of enormous tall complexes, interacting with loads of strange characters and people, and it's constant movement. And either I'm on a mission trying to find something or somebody, or I am trying to get away from somebody or something, or there's always a clear purpose to what I'm doing in those moments and why I'm exploring these cityscapes and these landscapes. But these places are beautiful. They are amazing to behold. And I now sat here thinking, like, I couldn't draw something like that. I couldn't. I don't feel like I came up with that, you know, consciously. It's hard to make sense of for me afterwards. And I have wondered, though I have no proof for this whatsoever, am I looking at visions of perhaps a world that was? In some way, have I lived this before? If it's possible, we are perhaps the rest of the dead resurrected to live again, with a chance to know Christ, who people who didn't get a chance. If that's the, if the past lives thing, if that's true, which I don't know, it is. Again, I just speculated about that once in a video as an idea, but if that is the case, and could that explain why I recognize these places in my dreams and why I even have them? As memory, is that what the Millennial Kingdom looked like when it was in its full swing? Were there actually places that looked like this? Like impossibly complex and huge with multiple rooms and chasms and hallways and archways and stairs and just this ornate wonderland? Like, is that how it possibly was? I don't know. Maybe. Like, but yeah, these dreams are something. But the Onion Dome dream always stuck with me. Always stuck with me. Sorry guys, I'm trying to catch up with the chat. It's kind of bouncing away from me there. Drunk Wedding Photographer gifted 5 memberships. Thanks for that. I really appreciate that. Ivan Torres became a member of his own accord, I think. Thanks, Ivan. Lol, Paul the Alien. Yeah, there was a film called Paul, wasn't there, about being an alien? I remember that now. How were the angels able to create hybrids, mess with the genetics? Was semiotics used or sound, vibration and frequency? Possible. I think there are technologies at play that we just don't understand. Absolutely, I can agree with that. I think things were really trippy during that time. I think it was an extremely connected to the spirit realm type place and time as well, where people could just actively perceive and see the spirit realm in live action without the need of psychedelics or drugs during this time period. I think that was probably happening too. I think it was a crazy time to be alive. I really do. I think it was nuts. And I think what the angels could do to us was just wild. Like, and could literally, these people, these beings possibly had the power to just instantly manipulate somebody to be something like that at the snap of a finger, just by willing it to be so. You know, I think I don't think we can understand what was going on then in any, from any perspective, we can kind of understand how things work. For us, to change somebody's appearance involves time-consuming plastic surgery and months of healing. To them, they may have literally just been able to think things or snap their fingers and magically puff things.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Into looking like something else in a second. You know, they could just... Because they see in, like, I don't know, 20 dimensions. They're angels at the end of the day. You know, they don't see things like... And they could probably see the fabrics and codes of reality and just quickly hack it and change a code, and instantly we change into something else from their perspective, and they wouldn't even have to look like they blinked to do it. Like, who knows how of these things? Honestly, I'm open to any suggestion, but there is also the old school method that they just came down into an Oikitarian, which is a flesh body avatar, and physically interacted with us that way, and therefore created their offspring. You know, there is that too. So who knows? Who knows? Memberships, lol. I just got, this is my first ever like interaction with YouTube, aside from watching. Oh, well, Ivan, I'm glad you're actually getting involved. Good luck, everyone. Here's five more random ones. Would dreams even be a thing during the millennial reign? Or would your psyche have no need for them? Maybe they're there because they're telling us of a world that once was. Man, I don't know. I mean, I feel like dreaming serves a purpose that we're trying to figure out. I think it's necessary. I do think dreaming is necessary for our minds. I think we would go a little bit nuts if we didn't dream. I think there is a file sorting process going on in our brains to help us deal with the information from the day. I do think there is that element to it. I think there is a purpose. But also at the same time, I know God has the ability to send people dreams, to communicate through dreams and visions and all these types. So I completely not, I don't think they would ever stop under any circumstance. But does a affected light body human even need to dream or sleep? Maybe not. You know, so maybe it's just something us in our lowly flesh bodies, corrupted flesh bodies, need to deal with and do, perhaps. Who knows? Honestly, who knows? Have you seen the Netflix adaptation of One Piece? There's a villain, there's a clown, and the main character finds out his nose, and I've lost it, is real. Oh, right, he has a real clown nose. Well, yeah, they put it everywhere these days in all forms of media. If it's got a clown in it, they'll probably make it popular, is basically what I'm trying to say there. How much can you actually trace your own about your ancestry, Paul, through official records? Maybe a Filipino struggle. As a Filipino, you struggle to do these things. Well, I've never bothered to actually look back at my ancestry specifically. I know my wife's into all that kind of stuff, and she had like a ancestry.com type trial and everything, and we did what we could. But it seems like the system kind of guesses your ancestors once you get back to a certain point. Because it gives you the best guess, kind of, as to who might be who. But people had a lot of kids. in like the 1800s and the 1700s, and not all of them survived, and a lot of them were given away or orphaned, and it gets really convoluted and complicated, and a lot of people had mistresses as well, and it just becomes wild, and everyone's named the same name, like, and it's like there wasn't many names back then or something, so everyone had the same name, and you didn't know who was who or who was the father of who, and it just got really convoluted and difficult to track back past, like, the 1850 or something like that. But I do know my name, Stobbs, has its roots in Norman French Viking invasion of Northumbria in Northern England. And my name, Stobbs, is a Northern English name. And there is a road called Stobbs Road in Leeds, in Pontefract, because of this. And Leeds being a part of Yorkshire. I live in Lancashire, so it's the other side. But migration of people, it's not that far away. Speaking, you know, relatively speaking, it's not that far away from these places. I know my family originally travelled down from Newcastle, which is way further north, just slightly south of Scotland. So I am of that region, so it makes sense why I have the name Stobbs. But it comes from Norwegian French hybridization of cultures, Viking invading France and settling in France, creating the Normans, which is Northmen, and then the Norman cultures invasions then going into England. So that's kind of my namesake heritage. But the thing about Stobbs as well, it's Old English, derived from the word stib, STYBB, and stib means tree stump, and it was a name given to the Norman invaders as a mockery from the Celtic and British natives, when they saw these short, stocky, wide, muscly, short Vikings turn up. They called them tree stumps to mock them, you know, because they're short and stocky. But they called them stibs. And I believe when taxation came around and the Doomsday Book came around, and obviously you had to document your name for purposes of being taxed, you usually were named after what you were commonly referred to as or what your profession was. Stib, Stobbs, Stobart, Stubbs, all those variations of Stobbs came from Stib, from that reasoning, that nickname, basically. You know, whatever it was, like Wolfguard the Stib, you know, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? And it just sticks, like, and most British names are kind of have that kind of story, you know. Or if you get like Simpson, he's like son of Simp or something, is, you know, son of Simon or something like that. There's reasons behind it, like Woods, for example, which comes from my mother's maiden name down, and apparently comes from people who lived in the woods. That's kind of where it comes from, you know. But even then, I mean, she got that from it's hard to really trace these things, but from my patriarchal lineage of Stobbs to today, it's based in that. So I know that much. That's as much as I can gather. In terms of my literal ancestry, I mean, I don't know the names of the people past like the 1850s or something, but I know for my name's sake, has not moved from this region of England, the northern regions of England, for like at least 1,000 years. So I am like true, like a native of this land in that, if you have, depending on how long you want to go and when you want to trace that back, you know. And I guess that's something to be slightly proud of, maybe. I don't honestly know, but there you go. That's as much I can give you about my name. I could be wrong. Maybe that's all just a load of bollocks. Who knows? I think you're onto something with these Nephilim clowns. Oh, thanks. roll the losing dice. I appreciate it. Check out the song by Onslaught, Bow Down to the Clowns. I probably won't, but thanks for the tip. The way alchemists make a homunculus. I've heard of, yeah, all the homunculus stuff. How can you actually trace your own about your ancestry, Paul, through local records? It's a bit of a struggle. I suppose you would have to go through, it'd be a long and tedious process to trace anything. if you want to do it yourself manually. But there are programs that can help you, but how much you can actually trust them is really, really, I'm dubious at best. Lemon juice in water is great for fasting. Thanks for letting me know. Is it possible the mud flood was from Noah's flood? The old buildings were from when Noah was alive. Is that possible? It depends if you want to then want to shrink the timeline down. And you don't want to assume that Noah's flood was like 4,000 years ago. Maybe 5,000 years ago. Because although these buildings are impressive, I don't think they're like 4,000 years old. I think they would have seen a lot more weathering than what we currently see if they were from the time of Noah. But then people would argue like, oh, well, you know, Noah's flood wasn't that long ago then. It was only a few hundred years ago and they're lying to us about the time scales. And it's like, okay, well, where do you want to fit the millennial rain into that? Or it's kind of, so is that your way of trying to say the millennial rain is still about to come? Are you trying to say that instead? Because we know Jesus has already come because the documentation we have of that. So it's like, I feel like people are really convoluting the timescales there to try and say that these buildings are from Noah's flood. I really don't think they are. I really don't think they're from Noah's flood. I see very little evidence to believe that. It seems like people want to say, no, the Nephilim built these buildings. It can't possibly have been Jesus. And it's like, well, Jesus was a carpenter. He built stuff. Like, why is it so wrong to consider that he could also help build cities? Like, why is that evil? Why is that wrong? And just because there's like what you would call demonic iconography on them today doesn't mean that we're always like that necessarily. And it's kind of, and just because artwork was created to remember a past time does not necessarily mean the people of that time worshipped or venerated demons either. I mean, give humanity more freedom and credit than that, and the, you know, people think at the end of the day. So I don't know. I personally have seen little evidence to consider that these Tartarian or Millennial Kingdom buildings were built during the pre-flood. I don't.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Don't personally see the evidence for that, but maybe if there's something I'm missing, maybe there's a video I need to see where someone's made a solid case to explain that, suggest it and I'll check it out. I'm open to suggesting it, but personally I don't feel like I've seen that evidence myself. But I could be wrong, who knows. The wiki picture of William the Conqueror looks awfully Jester-esque. Yeah, someone, I think you shared that in the Telegram, didn't you? I saw that. I think that's their way of creating chainmail with their art, with the needlework. That circle pattern you showed, which you said is like polka dot jestery. I think that's just the way they depict chainmail armor back then on that type of artwork. So I don't know if it necessarily is purposely trying to mimic a jester. But I get what you were going for there. Familiar with Attack on Titan? The giants with wide grins, very Nephilimic, says Cody. Yeah, I've watched the entire series of Attack on Titan. I have. I know, I'm very well aware of that. The first thumbnail for the first episode of my entire series dedicated to the Nephilim look like clowns is of the Titan that ate his mother. Okay. So you can go back and check that out. I'm very well aware of Attack on Titan. Yes, it's kind of basic stuff by now. It's like people coming up to me and saying, "Have you ever heard of John Wayne Gacy?" No, I've never heard of the guy. No way. Like, it's like, what's the other one? What's the other one? Wife, if you're listening, say the other one everyone always says to me in the chat, which I think is just like, what is it? I get loads of them. I get loads. I get so many suggestions where it's kind of like, oh, I'm trying to be nice, but wow. Yes, I've considered Ronald McDonald. Oh, it's John Wayne. It's always John Wayne Gacy. That's another one. It's Ronald McDonald, and it's Attack on Titan. I get all the time. What else is it? What else is it? Is that her sending me a message telling me about the other ones? No, she's let me down. She's let me down on this one. Which one? Because I've got loads. All of them. Tell me them all. Oh, have you considered the Jack in the Box? Okay. I get that one a lot as well. What else? Oh, so many. There's so many. Always. What does Keely say? She says, if she's thought of these things, and she doesn't care about conspiracy or my work in that sense, she doesn't think about it like I do, you know what I mean? She's not bothered. But even she's thought of these ideas. It's kind of like she says, look, if I'm considering these things, these people should understand that you, me, have definitely thought about it. That's always funny. Yeah, Jack in the Box. Oh, there's so many. There's so honestly, it gets really tedious. But yeah, I have considered Attack on Titan. Sorry, I'm not trying to attack you there. You just reminded me of. I get a lot of these obvious suggestions, should we say? As though it's the latest thing that I could not possibly have thought of. And honestly, that's the one. Have you ever watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space? Oh, Beetlejuice dresses like that too. Like, it's got, I don't. Ugh. Yeah. Is the Catholic Church the harlot and false teachings of Christianity? I don't know specifically if you could say it was. All I know is it just seems dodgy that they changed the Ten Commandments to approve idol worship or icon worship, whatever you want to call it. And then doubled up to fill that gap by making lusting after people's property and lusting after people's wives two separate sins. Like rather than it just being don't covet after your neighbor's wife or property as one, which it originally was, instead they turned that into two so they could remove the, have no false idols. That's dodgy. I'm sorry. I don't care how, I don't know how a Catholic can justify that and think it's all right, but yeah, no. Sorry, guys, I'm just checking the chat. It jumps on this app and I lose everything. I'm going to try and go back and find where I was. The clown thing is a real bummer because artists now just think they look cool, ignorant of the origins. Yeah, well, no, that's always been the world. People are generally ignorant of where most things come from, and we have to be forgiving. I'm not saying everybody who dresses like a clown or everybody who makes artwork about clowns is evil. I'm not saying that. I'm just offering the history for people to do with it what they will, and that's all I can do at the end of the day. I don't think people are inherently evil just because they dress all like clowns. That's not what I'm saying. It'd be unfair of me to say that. I'm just providing the history. That's all I'm doing. So I got a toothpick in my hand there. You guys don't want to see that, do you? Sorry. Autistic kitty cat says, I had Jesus once, but the hypocrisy was too much. Now I'm back reconsidering things. I find it more confusing than ever. I've been searching for the truth my whole life. And why should it be so hard for mere mortals? I feel toyed with and hopeless. I will keep searching and thank you for all your kind replies. Yeah, you know, I get it. I honestly, I understand it's tough to process a lot of these things. And it does take a lot of work, actually, to understand it all. It really does. And I'm not saying I understand everything perfectly. And I'm in the fortunate position that I don't feel like I'm simply just going off faith alone, because I've had experiences which have personally proven it to me, which I know I can't translate to other people, you know? So it's tough, like, and I really empathize with you. And maybe just if you just stick around and watch a few of my videos for a while, maybe it'll help you along the way. And that's all I can suggest there. But it's good that you're at least reconsidering and trying, you know. God loves a tryer at the end of the day. That's all I'll say. Which one? Because I've got loads. Jack in the Box. Have you been to any castles in the UK? I've been to a few castles in my time, kind of, I think. Lincoln Castle. I've been to the cathedrals, York Cathedral. I've been to a lot of churches. I suppose I've not been to many castles. I've been to Castillo San Miguel in Spain as well. That was impressive. But you know, there's kind of castles everywhere in the UK, and I think I'm often walking through castles without even realizing it sometimes, especially the old cities like York and Lincoln. But no, I've not, like, I think Lincoln Castle's the only one I've ever really been to where I was conscious or thinking about it. Is there an Order of the Jugglers, or am I confusing you with the Oddfellows? No, there's the Royal Order of the Jesters. They're a level above Shrining, and you have to be a high-level Freemason first, and then you become a Shriner. And then once you make it through all the 13 ranks of Shrining and become a Master Shriner, you can then be invited to become a member of the Royal Order of the Jesters, which is the highest level. The Oddfellows are an offshoot sister or cousin program of Freemasonry, which seems to be reserved for specific members who are members of high leadership and also high levels of entertainment or influence. So it's kind of like the influencers and the world leaders sect is the Oddfellows, which is so strange. But they all have their own purposes and missions, but they all align to the same Luciferian doctrine. I'll say that. Have you heard of Mr. Tumble? I've heard of Mr. Tumble, yeah. Mr. Tumble freaks me out. Mr. Tumble is a creepy one. Yeah, I don't like something about fully grown men acting like children. That makes me feel weird. Don't call me crazy. But when I see like people like Mr. Tumble, who's acting like a 12-year-old, who's like, he's like a 50-year-old man or 60-year-old man, it just seems so strange. I don't know. Blippi is the same for me. That guy, honestly, it's kind of, what are you doing? I don't know. I mean, who am I to talk? I'm the guy who talks about clowns, but is he really happy with that being his legacy? He played Blippi. And the way he has to be, perform and behave and act for that show. There's just something about it that's kind of like, oh, what a shame. I bet the money must be good. I don't know. Soy Free Thought says, Paul, have you seen Mind Unveiled's video on clowns? They gave you props. They did a video on Roy Rogers Shrine. Yeah, I've seen Mind Unveiled's video about my work. I think it was a good video. He did a really great summary, and he explained it quite clearly as well, which was really good. He brought a lot of subscribers over to my channel because he did give me props, which I'm really.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families. when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Appreciative of, and yeah, I've been subscribed to Matt Novell for years. So when he started talking about it, I was like, oh, fair enough. Yeah. And I think he got to it through Conspiracy R Us. I don't think he knew who I was for a long time. I think he saw the work from Conspiracy R Us and then learned from, eventually found my channel and found the work, I'm assuming. I don't know. But yeah, he did a really good job on that video. And we'll see what else he talks about. From what I gathered, I managed to figure out that I think he had watched my last three videos on the subject, predominantly as the examples he used for his video. Because you can't say it all in a short video. I've tried, and I 2 hours, I still can't say it all on a podcast. But it seems like he selected a lot of the information I presented on my last two or three videos of the series and repackaged that into a half an hour video on his channel from what I saw. But it was very well done. Yeah. Very well done. I reckon Blippi is loving it, says my wife. It must be. The guy must be on something as well to have that much energy all the time. That's all I can say. So the Oddfellows run the fashion industry. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Probably. It's nice seeing so many Americans who are Christians. As a Brit, it's very difficult to find true Christians where I live. In my age group, I can't even count on one hand the people who believe, says Azoria. Yeah, we're British Christians are a rare breed at our age, at the younger ages especially. And most churches are basically community centres. They're not really churches. So yeah, it's a sad state of affairs for British Christendom, unfortunately. But America is just full of it. But nobody does Christianity like an American. I always say that they have a very distinct, loud, brash flavor of Christianity, which we Brits just don't have. It's just not in us. It's just not the way we behave or act. It's a culture thing. I think I don't know what it is. Number blocks, says my wife. Yeah, there's definitely some clown characters in number blocks. I'm already subbed a few days ago, binging the past couple of days. Thank you, Wendy. Artistic. Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying the work. Check out Derek Prince. Great help for me, says Pilkey. I would back that recommendation there. Derek Prince was one of my first like preachers I listened to online when I was first just coming around to the idea. And again, you can say what you want about the charismatic movement or whether that's even still a thing today technically or not. I don't know if it's, you know, the whole speaking in tongues thing, which he kind of went into as well. But as a man of God, he was definitely one of the good ones. And the way he explained spiritual warfare really helped me in my early days understand what was going on. I feel like I've moved on a lot since then, and I think if he was around today, he would have moved on a lot too and learned a lot more with the access to information and a lot of research that people have done today. But for his time, you know, and the way he talked and the his solution was bang on, you know, how to deal with these things. Derek Prince was a great one. I'll have to go back and listen to some of his lectures. It was a really good way to understand the nature of our reality and how God works through it and how the demonic impacts us as well. I really appreciate his lectures and his sermons. So Amy Jo for Truth says the McDonald's clown. So again, assuming I've never heard this before in the 10 years I've been doing this, but some say Mackie D's has human meat. Yep, I've heard that thousands of times too. If a white-faced clown dove face first into raw meat, what parts of his face would be red with blood? The exact same place Ronald McDonald would. Let that sink in. I'm not disparaging. I know you're excited. I get it. I'm sorry, but you've just told me my theory back to me, which I said in my first video like 10 years ago, you know, like, I can't, sorry, like 8 years. I don't know how long it's been, a while since I made this series now, but it's kind of, yes, Ronald McDonald is a clown. All clowns are modeled after the Rakshasa demons of India. They are modeled after the Nephilim. So Ronald McDonald is included under that umbrella. The red around the mouth, though it could be indicative of blood from eating raw meat, as you've said. And that was my first theory, which I also pushed out there when I first started my series. I have come to believe through my own work and observation that they actually had red lips. Big, wide, grinning red lips. It was a real physical feature, not just a stain from being cannibals. So I'll say that as well. And go check out my channel on that. I've explained why. But I do believe they also had psychedelically large, weird pink red lips with wide grins. Yeah, but I know you're excited. I know you're excited about the concept. It all starts firing off when you first hear it. I do understand. I've been there. Thanks for your work, Paul. I've learned so much from you. I have to say that your Nephilim Look Like Clowns series should not be considered a conspiracy. You have proven this theory. I like to think so. I certainly like to think I've proven it now. I don't know how much more I could do. I feel like I've said everything that necessarily needs to be said now about it, and it is a packaged, boxed theory now. Like again, I say theory because I've just been saying it for so long, but it is a packaged up piece of information now you can go and find out. You know, and I think I've rounded it off nicely and I've perfected the way I can convey it. And I think I'm going to, like I said, once the book's written thoroughly, I think I may be done with it to the point where I can go around then promoting the idea and promoting the book. But I don't know if there's much more research I can necessarily keep doing with this one where I wouldn't just be hammering home the same point. I think it's one of those theories that once you've got the basis down and you understand every aspect of the proof, you can then go into the world and see it yourself applied everywhere, where the costume of a clown has been applied as ancestor spirit worship channeling garb in modern mainstream media. It is everywhere. So I could go on forever making videos about it as well. So I don't know. But I think once the book's done, it's done. Apocrypha accounts, the terrible voices or sounds of the Nephilim being terrifying. Yeah, that's true. The Zamzam memes specifically were the worst sounding. Absolutely for his time, it was super. Yeah, Derek Prince. Yeah. We lost a lot of good ones who I wish were still around. I mean, even again, we're talking earlier about the Catholic Church and everything, but how I've got my serious issues with the way they've changed the Ten Commandments, you know. But Bishop Fulton Sheen, he was actually a really great preacher, you know, from the Catholic perspective, and he had a lot of very interesting things to say that I respect as well. So you know, you can find it everywhere. I remain non-denominational because I'm weary when there are so many different subsections of a thing that are all telling me their way is the only way. I prefer to just listen to it all and keep my focus on Christ. And that's it. I don't feel like I need a dogma or a denomination to walk with Christ. That's kind of how I see it. I recommended your work to a woman who grew up in a circus town. No joke. Wow. No, I didn't take anything as sarcastic. Don't worry. No, I'm sorry. I took no offense, Amy. Don't worry. I just went off on a bit of a rant there, but it wasn't. Don't take it personally, honestly. It's fine. It's fine. What are your thoughts on the Christian charismatic movement? I don't really know enough about the movement today to make a comment on that. But I do feel like a lot of those, it does seem like those particular spiritual gifts they claim to have likely ended with Pentecost. But they obviously believe it continued to the modern day, especially with obviously the millennial reign theory getting involved. It seems more likely that those type of things would have ended with Pentecost. But who's to say? You know, who's to say on those things? So I can't. I wouldn't like to get too involved in discussing the modern version of that. I don't know enough about it to make an informed opinion. So it's probably best I don't really talk about that. Replacement theology is what the Catholic Church gave us. Yeah. Johnny Cool says, "Wendy, you're a mod on my channel." What channel is that, Johnny Cool? Let me check out your channel. You've got me. Let's see what's going on. You've intrigued me. I'd like to see this. Johnny Cool, where are you? Apparently, I can't. I'm not allowed, apparently. not from this view. Let's go actually into the podcast, shall we? Get shareable link. Let's put it in. Bam. Meltology. So what, melted castles, are we? Interesting. Irish melted castles. All right, Johnny, you've got me. I'll check out some of your stuff. We'll see what's going on. Melted. the study of melted structures, which resulted from a cataclysmic event. There are certainly a lot of melted buildings around, aren't there? I agree. I've been shown a few of my research, and yeah, it's fascinating. There's definitely signs of extreme heat and destruction all over the earth. Terrifying as well at the same time. When you realize this, just how absolutely dramatically destructive that must have been. Yeah, sure. Right, guys, sorry. The chat's going all over. Don't laugh. It's a work in progress. I'm not laughing. No. I honestly, I like the smaller channels, to be honest, who are just starting out because they're usually the most passionate about getting the research together. And yeah, I follow loads of small channels who give me a bit of an insight here and there about things that I otherwise wouldn't find anywhere else. So I'm always happy to look and check out your work. Close that. There we go. I've known Johnny for a few years, so he's biased. There you go. Subscribe, mate. There we go. Thoughts on the Book of Enoch. I think First Enoch is extremely valid and should be canon. I think Second Enoch got a bit gnosticky. And I think Third Enoch should be thrown out. I think it's nonsense. Highly, highly gnosticized versions. But First Enoch, I think, is legit. And I think it got mixed up with a lot of Gnostic texts in the Qumran cave to delegitimize it, more than anything. But I think the narrative of the Watchers that's described in the Book of Enoch is First Enoch is lines up with everything else. And I think visually we can prove it that it went down exactly how it's described in that book. If you just look at the history of the earth and the tales and the mythos and the mythologies that are surrounding us. So that's where I stand on it. But I know for a lot of KJV only types out there, they would consider it absolute blasphemy to even consider anything from that book as relevant, and to even think about it is stupid. I know that's out there too, but personally, you know, I don't see it that way. I think it's a lot of valid information that just cannot be ignored. It simply just cannot be ignored. So that's where I stand on it. R-F-T-K-O-H-I-A-H. Ruftkahai. Ruftkahia? How do you easily say that? Is there a way? Can you give me the phonics for that? Is a good small channel. Okay, I'll check them out. How do I do that? Copy. Let's see now. I'll go have a look. Nope, that did not work. There we go. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, I see it now. Okay, I'll check out this channel as well. I'll subscribe now. There we go. And sorry, Johnny Cool. I'll subscribe to yours as well. I think I'm your 80th subscriber. There we go. And I'll check your stuff out. Arts just arrived. A bit late to the game, mate. I'm going to be ending this in a second. It's past midnight now for me, so I think that's probably the as far as I'm going to go, to be honest. CFM has a great channel. He's on tonight, actually. Okay. Can't pronounce it. Some American guy. Okay. He doesn't believe in penguins. Okay. I don't know who we're talking about here now. Ceiling fan man, I've been enjoying your discussions. Thanks for your work. I talk about very similar things on my channel. Ceiling fan man, I recognize your name. I think I've seen your channel before. I think somebody recommended your channel to me, and I went to go check it out. Let me do that again. Okay, I see you've got a 3-hour stream called Here We Go, and you've got some clowns on the thumbnail, some jesters. I don't know what you talk about. You have to inform me. I'll check out some of your work there, but yeah, thanks for clue me in there. My notifications are messy. Thank you, Johnny. The American Christian fella you subscribe to is famous for not believing in animals like apes, anacondas, and zebras. Okay, well, that's gonna be an interesting rabbit hole for me to listen to and speculate there, Azoria. Thanks for the heads up. Hans Wormhat, who is now RFK. Okay. Yeah, guys. Okay, so I'm gonna have to get going now. Anyway, I think we've come to the end of this chat now. Thanks for reaching out, guys. Thanks for the little back and forth Q&A. Just a bit of a fun conversation, which is what I like to have every now and then. I don't get the chance to do this as often as I would like to. So I appreciate you guys being here. I think for some reason the chat just landed on my wife saying Yorkshire is superior. You know what? I'll let her have that one. It probably is. He doesn't believe in gorillas, sloths, penguins, zebras, pangolins. And you're selling this to me. I've got to go check this out now. But yeah, guys, no, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. Thanks for all the gifted memberships as well there from the mods. That's amazing. But yeah, guys, I'll be back tomorrow with a podcast visit. I think I'm on the Bump podcast tomorrow talking to Bo. And then on Sunday, I have Amy from Eyes on the Right podcast joining me for a Truth of Therapy session. So it's going to be a good weekend, something to look forward to. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you enjoy listening to the previous podcast I was just on there. You can go check that out on my recent lives. This is just an after show. I've just did immediately afterwards. But go check that out if you haven't already. Please consider subscribing to Patreon if you haven't already. $5 a month will get you access to everything that you see, which is an extra I go to my page here, scroll down, and I share this with you guys. There you go. So here's some extra stuff. This is a release coming out soon, where I'm talking to a new age community about quite a lot of things to do the Nephilim look like clowns. But this one is really great, a really great show. I recommend checking out. That'll be released soon. I've got after show talks here with the guys over at we've got Alpha Talks there in JC follows JC, me with Kingdom Within having a bit of an after show talk, a talk with Donut there as well, another after show talk with me and Tala, with Subconscious Realms talking about Bigfoot. We've got some after talks, show talks with George Hobbs. Yeah, it goes back. There's a whole new 50-minute conversation between me and Vicky Joy Anderson, which isn't released yet. Yeah, there's loads of things here. You can go and check out. We've got Shelley, got Lloyd there. We've got some extra podcast visits. I've got stuff that isn't on YouTube with Heidi Hollis there. Behind the scenes with Gary Wayne. I've got some artwork, concept art. I post snippets of my book on there as well to read. This was all released before it was released onto YouTube. I put a lot of stuff on here as well, like my truth therapy sessions, loads of backdated extra things, and just to get access to all of that, which is regularly updated, it's just $5 a month. That's the threshold. So go check it out if you haven't already, guys. I would really appreciate that. I have like 200 or 350 free members who haven't signed up, who get access to nothing, but I'm hoping I can convince them to come over and be a paid member. That would be wonderful. But there we go, guys. Go check that out if you haven't already. Thanks for everything. The book, I'll always be keeping you updated with the book. Maybe I'll do another book reading soon. But yeah, guys, I'm going to leave that there. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.